Today on Real Radio.
The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, Jesus Christ died for our sins, right? But Jesus Christ also died to empower the Word of God. I once read an old Puritan preacher put it this way: Jesus died for me, and Jesus died for God. And you might say, what does he mean by that? Jesus died for me because I'm a sinner. Jesus died for God because when Jesus died, he empowered the promises of God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John chapter 10. Our study takes a look at verses 22 through 30, where Jesus uses the term sheep, which is a metaphor to describe his own people, who hear his voice, and those who are distinct from those who reject him as Messiah. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his study called His Sheep Shall Never Perish.
Jesus knows those who believe in him. He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I like that. I like saying, my sheep hear my voice. It's kind of like he comes up and puts his arm around me and he squeezes me in there. And he says, my sheep. John chapter 5, verse 24, most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed, past tense, from death to life. That's good news, don't you think? Very good news. Third consideration under this point, those who believe know him. Hey, he not only knows you, sheep, or Lambert, or whatever your name is, you know him. It's a two-way street. Can you imagine walking up and saying, hey, you want to talk to me? No. Well, I think you might want to talk to me because I know so-and-so. You might say, I know the Queen of England. Big deal. My question to you is, does the Queen of England know you? Now I'll talk to you. No, I know so-and-so. Yeah, but does so-and-so know you? Relationship. Jesus says, I know them, they know me. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're one of his lambs, you know him. And you know that you know him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Think about how stupid it was for me to even say what I just said. If you know him, you know that you know him. Well, how can you know somebody if you don't know them? The very fact that you know God means that you're known by God. That's a comforting thing. Do you want God? It's because he wants you. He put that in your heart. I like that. Listen, those who believe know him. Well, what's the proof? Are you ready? Jesus said, verse 27, they follow me. That's it? That's it. You mean how much I tithe doesn't matter? Nope. We'll bring the plate back out. You can take your money out. You mean I can't get in good with God if I give $1,000? Nope. How about if I do this or the other? Nope. You got to follow him. Listen, following Jesus doesn't mean you get involved in ministry either. Follow him. What's the proof of knowing Jesus? You follow him. Now, I understand today, poor dumb me, that there's a playoff game or two today. Is that right? Who's playing today? The Rams and the Goats or what? Who's playing? Here's the deal. Jesus said... Now watch. Jesus says, my sheep, follow me. What do you think that means? It means this. At any time, he can say something and you'll follow him. Well, not during the playoffs. Oh, yeah. That's the whole point. Listen, in Luke's gospel, chapter 5, there it says that Matthew was collecting his tax money, sitting in the booth. Hey, listen, he's a Jewish guy making money. You don't get in his way. Jesus walks by and says, "Follow me." It says there that Matthew leaves everything and follows Jesus. And Matthew's gospel, chapter 4, Matthew 4:21, it says there, "And Jesus, going on further, comes to two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother," listen, "in the boat with their father, mending their nets." They're fishermen. Don't you think if you're a fisherman, mending nets is a very important thing? No net, no fish. No fish, no money. No money, no home, no food, no clothes, no rent, right? They're mending nets. Would you say that they're busy? I say that they're busy. I'm going to go so far to say, and I don't care what your business is, these guys are more busy than maybe you have ever been, and me. How so? Because they couldn't go down to Costco and buy a net. They had to mend their nets. They fished at night and worked all day mending nets. They didn't just get online and net.com. You know, and up pulls a donkey and, "Hey, here you go, buddy, here's your net. Hey, you know, remember to use this next time." Fisherman.com. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way then. They had to work hard and long. Right in the middle of all that they're doing. Now, listen, they're mending nets. Jesus says, "Come and follow me." What those boys do? It says in Matthew 4 that they immediately got up, left their boat and their father, and followed Jesus. And we read that. We read that every day. Oh, big deal. That's when God was writing the Bible, and you know, he needed people that committed. Hey, it's for us. God could say right before kickoff, "Turn off the TV and pray." I can see some of you right now saying, "Jack, please." Can you imagine? The guy jumps back for a pass, and God says, "Turn off the TV and worship me." You might say, "He will never say that." He will say it. He'll say it. Come on, think about your own life. You wake up in the morning, what do you hear? First thing a believer hears in the morning is, "Come and follow me." Don't you hear it? "Jack, be with me. It's early. No one's up yet. Before the day goes crazy, come and be with me." So, get up and get a cup of tea and blanket or whatever, and you get into the front room, get your Bible, and listen, phone rings, right? It can be 5 a.m. and the phone will ring. Listen, that's why God invented message machines, to let the thing go to the machine. Let it go. Because you dedicate yourself to God and you are going to be distracted. You're going to bow yourself in prayer and somebody's going to knock at the door. You know, your cousin's going to show up that you haven't seen all your life and knock on your door at 5 a.m. He's going to even "You give me money to borrow?" You know, hey, if you don't want your cousin to show up at the door, don't pray. I mean, interruptions will come. Jesus says, "Come and follow me." When you're mending nets, when you log on tomorrow at work, or when you're doing that business deal, or right in the middle of your job, I don't care what you and I do, God says right in the middle, "Come follow me." And there's no way around it. We can try. I did that this morning. I tried. God is funny. Because he knew I was going to be teaching this. I had this thing done. I had this message done. But from 3 to 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings, I take all of my notes and then put them together. They're out there. They're on my computer. They're everywhere. But I assemble the message early in the morning. Well, my alarm goes off this morning, and I'm kind of like in la-la land. And I'm punching my watch to see what time it is. And I look at my watch, and it's like 6:20. Now, I get here at 7 o'clock. I haven't compiled my notes, and I realize I'm coming to church in my pajamas today. I am panicking. I'm working. "Lord, I think you want this here. I hope you want this here, and this thought here." And watch this. Never happened before in my life, but this morning. I get all done. Print. I'm only going to be a little late. The cry will be halfway through worship by the time I get there. I'll be okay. Don't laugh at me. Many of you think that same way too. I open the door to go run in the shower, and I notice it's black outside, pitch black. When I was punching my watch, somehow I hit this little one little finger that changed the hours on my watch. When I got done, it was 5:15 in the morning. I was all done. All right, amazing. Thank you, God. And I'm done. I got time to kill. No, I've got time to sleep, not worship, sleep. You guys are much more spiritual than the other services, I'll tell you that. And so I'm going to go to sleep. And the Lord said, come and follow me. Lord, your Bible says thou wilt give his beloved sleep. The Lord says, pray. So I put my blanket, I go to the front room, and I get on my knees. Do I want to be there? No. Am I into it? Uh-uh. But something happens. You start praying, even in duress, and your heart starts to kick in. And I didn't look at the clock. By the time I got done, though, it was right at the hour I needed to get into the shower, to the minute. The clock was 6:00, or the watch. Perfect. So what was God teaching me? That he says, you follow me, and I'll take care of everything else. I don't care what is going on in your life or what you think I haven't done or why haven't I made this announcement or how come I haven't made this thing happen in your life. You follow me and I'll take care of the rest and stop, Jack, trying to call the shots. I'm God and you're not. I love you and you don't love yourself anywhere compared to how I love you. And he's right. Fourth point, his sheep shall never perish. Verse 28, are you ready for this? Hang on. Verse 28, one of the greatest verses in all of the Bible. Jesus says here, he freely gives eternal life, and that I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Let me read it again because it feels good. And I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He is the giver of eternal life, is he not? He says, and I give them eternal life. My friend, if you're struggling with your security in Christ, figure this verse out. He says, I give them eternal life. He's the giver. Receive it. He says, I give it. Remember what their question was? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. I think that's pretty clear. I give eternal life. He's the giver of eternal life. It's a free gift given. It's based upon the promises of God. Listen, Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, Jesus Christ died for our sins, right? But Jesus Christ also died to empower the Word of God. I once read an old Puritan preacher put it this way. Jesus died for me, and Jesus died for God. And you might say, what does he mean by that? Jesus died for me because I'm a sinner. Jesus died for God because when Jesus died, he empowered the promises of God. Listen, there is no salvation without the cross. There's no salvation without Jesus. There's no salvation without his death. Am I yelling? I'm so excited. You know why? Because I'm never going to perish. I'm going to heaven. And all those who put their trust in Christ will go to heaven. No doubt about it. I have no doubt about him keeping the deal. I worry about me keeping the deal, but not him keeping the deal. He not only is the giver of eternal life, but he guarantees eternal life. They shall never perish. And here's the fun part. In the Greek, it is a double negative. We don't have that in English. The best I can do is this. Are you ready? In the original scripture, it reads like this. And they shall never, never, no, never perish. Who said that? Look at your Bible. Letters in red, are they not? The words of Jesus Christ himself. Concerning his sheep, they will never perish. Who says? Jesus. Now this leads me to a thought. Why in the world would somebody come up and say, I think you can lose your salvation. My friend, if you're saved, you can't lose it. My question is, are you saved? That's the question. I can show you scripture upon scripture that secures your salvation, but the burden is on you to examine yourself to see if you're saved or not. Not me. I can't look out here, oh, I see Tommy and Becky and Johnny and Billy and those little saved ones. I can't do that. You have to do that before you and God. You've got to do that, you and Him. I can't say, well, now that you go to Calvary, you're all saved. Look, I know I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven based upon what He's done. That's what I know. I can't extend that security to anyone else. It's not for me to do. I have not that authority. But He's the guarantor, and I love, He says, they shall never perish. Isn't it great? He says He gives them eternal life. Watch. He gives them eternal life, they shall never perish. He gives, they shall never perish. Watch. He gives for how long? For eternity. Do you see it say He gives for 99 years? He gives for 36 months? He says he gives for 40 years? No, forever. And listen, He's the guarantor of it. And they shall never perish. Never. That's a long time. Never. It's wonderful. Isn't that good news? If we were a bunch of radicals, we'd get all excited about that. Verse 28, He's the guardian of our eternal life. He's the guardian of our eternal life. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Oh, I like this. Here's His hand. You're right there. Okay? Jesus says, you're in my hand. No one can snatch you out of my hand. Well, that's the way you interpret it. It's what He says. Well, I don't know if anybody can be that secure in Christ. Well, if you don't want to be, that's your business. But I'm going to be. Watch this. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The word snatch means to remove violently or by stealth, quickly. By the way, it's the Greek word harpazo, same word found in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 of the rapture. Instantly, secretly, gone. Jesus says, ain't no one gonna take you out of my hand. Nobody. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, have you come to Him? He says, to those I will by no means cast out. Pretty secure, don't you think? John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to me, and him I will raise up on the last day. That's pretty good news. The fifth and final consideration here, verses 29 and 30, and we'll be done. We are kept by God Himself. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Quickly, verse 29. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand, are out of my Father's hand. Look back at verse 28. My Father who has given them me is greater than all. Look what the scripture teaches us. We are in Jesus' hand, yes? And we're in the Father's hand. You look like a little sandwich there. God the Son has you here. God the Father goes, cool. You are wedged in the everlasting arms of God. Who? The sheep. Who are the sheep? Those who believe. When they believe, do they become sheep? Nope, they're sheep. Because when He calls them, they come. How do they come? He puts it in them to come. Well, what if I don't come? You're not one of His sheep. Well, that means I'm lost in hell. That's exactly correct. Well, I don't like that. Then why don't you become a sheep? You can. You want to become a sheep? Become a sheep. Get saved. Well, what if I don't want to get saved? Then you don't have to get saved. If you don't want to get saved, you're not one of His sheep. Well, how am I ever going to know? By stepping out and accepting Him. Well, I don't believe in Him. Then stay there and be a goat. But you're not a sheep. Listen, we're to what? Follow Him. That's it. Isn't it great? He doesn't expect anything from us. I've been to the Moscow Circus in Moscow, Russia. It's quite a sight. You know what? The music starts and out comes Great Danes dancing on the back of their feet. Pause. Out comes bears dancing. Poodles. up little ladders and onto strings, and then comes this goat, and he's on a ball, a goat. And then he goes up a ladder, a goat. I have never, and I've seen circuses, I've seen them, I've never seen a and now, ladies and gentlemen, Lambert, our resident lamb, and out he comes. I've never seen a sheep in a circus. They don't do anything. You ever seen a sheep dancing on top of a ball? You ever seen a sheep climb a ladder and jump into the pool? You don't see these, you don't see sheep do anything. What are sheep made to do? Follow. That's all they do. They don't even do tricks. I used to work with sheep. I kid you not, I used to cut them wide open and do surgeries on them. Those things are so sweet. You can talk to them. Hi, Buck. We used to name them. Hi, Rita. Buddy, you're going down today, girl. But we took very... Now, don't write me. It was totally an operating room. We completely put them under general anesthesia and then did our surgeries on them. No pain. Fine. But you know what? You can lead them right into that that operating room. You can lead them right in the room. And you put them down right there and you put them up on the table. They'll just follow you. They don't do any tricks. I've never seen a sheep go through an obstacle course. They can't do it. But they follow Jesus. His sheep follow him. There's no greater authority. There's no greater power. And then finally we end here, verse 30. There's no greater bond. There's no greater bond. Listen, I and my Father are one. Literally in the Greek, it is I and Father, or I and the Father are one. In fact, in verse 28 and 29, the word them for us is italicized, and the word my for my Father is italicized, indicating in the Greek a stronger argument than what even appears in English, that Jesus and the Father are inseparable. I and Father are one. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful, great thing. Do you know him? He says in Matthew chapter 7, he says, in the last days, there'll be those who will say, Lord, Lord, we have done great miracles in your name. We've prophesied in your name. Have you prophesied in Jesus' name? Have you done that? We've cast out demons in your name. Have you done that? Have you cast out demons in Jesus' name? And they call him Lord. Then Jesus says, and I will say unto them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who work lawlessness.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, reminding us of the most terrible words human ears can ever hear. It's a study called His Sheep Shall Never Perish, taken from John chapter 10 and verses 22 through 30. This is all part of Pastor Jack's series through the Gospel of John, which means that we'll continue with more in this series on our next edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, we do invite you to get in touch with us here at Real Radio and order your own audio copy. There's more than one way to do so. You can visit our website at realradioactive.org or give us a call at 909-393-7100. Again, that phone number, area code 909-393-7100. But of course, the quicker way of doing things is by visiting us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. If you prefer calling, our number once again is area code 909-393-7100. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and continues communicating the gospel on the radio because of your financial participation. So we invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all that contact information, remember you can always locate it on our website, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.